Hello, and welcome to another episode of Realpolitik. I am your host, Firas Mohdad. Today we're going to talk about the possibility of a resumption of the war with Iran and whether or not Trump will actually go ahead and do it. Reminder, this is a live episode. Our apologies for the delay in starting, but it does mean on the plus side that you can ask any questions that you want, and I'll be doing my best to answer your questions either as they come in or at the end of the show, subject to assistance from Samson. So we've been hearing some noise in Israeli media saying that a war with Iran is going to resume, and I won't go through all of the headlines. I'll focus instead on the most important person to say it, who is the director of the defense ministry in Israel, so somebody who would be in the know. And his view is to shift the blame on the Iranians, saying that they feel humiliated and they're investing huge sums of money in accelerating their force buildup. And indeed, all of the reporting on social media seems to sort of suggest this. We're seeing shipments from Russia coming into Iran. We saw the Iranian defense minister visiting China, presumably with the objective of acquiring some air defense systems to make up for the fact that Iranian air defense really underperformed quite badly during the June conflict. But the mood in Israel suggests that there's another round coming. And if we were to look at some of the other indicators that might tell us whether or not this is something that's going to happen, it seems that the United States has reinforced the terminal high-altitude air defense systems that were deployed in Israel with 4 new launchers added to the 6 pre-existing ones. So that's a pretty big increase. If you remember, the Patriot systems really underperformed against Iranian missiles. And so the Israelis moved the Patriots to Ukraine, which is a lesser priority for the United States. And the United States moved more THAAD systems to Israel with a view towards basically enabling a better air defense for the Israelis. That seems to be the priority right now. And these would be aimed both at attacks from the Houthi as well as from Iraq and Iran. Not just that, I think more worryingly, it seems that the United States is moving aerial tankers to Europe. If you look at the numbers, the first report that I showed you said 8, but I think I see more than 8 on this graphic here from the Enforcer, saying that more and more systems are being moved towards Europe, and therefore they would be closer to the theater in the Middle East, where they would play a role in refueling aircraft to enable more strikes on Iran. So these are pretty strong indicators. And last, we have the Pizzeria and Gay Bar indicator, the Pentagon Pizza report. It's a great little account. Doesn't always get it right, but it's a strong indicator. When you see them, when you see the Pentagon ordering a lot of pizzas on a Sunday night, it's a reason to worry. And when you see the gay bar that a lot of people in the Pentagon seem to go to being quite empty, it's a sign that something is cooking. That seems to point to some brewing preparations for escalation. Now, the context for this is that today, I think in around an hour's time or less than an hour, Trump and Netanyahu are set to meet. Trump is trying to force a peace agreement between Israel and Gaza, and Israel and Hamas in Gaza, that would end the war there. The war, as you know, has been quite costly in terms of the reputation of Israel and in terms of the media war that Israel is fighting. The level of popularity of the Israelis has never been lower among, you know, most demographic groups in the United States and in the West. And Netanyahu will be saying, rather than ending the war in Gaza, he wants to go after the Iranians one more time in order to solve the issue with the nuclear program. If you remember, the nuclear program was not really destroyed by any means. what is being said by the Israelis now is that they know where the highly enriched uranium that Iran has is hidden. They think that the ability to enrich uranium might still be there. Netanyahu says that the aim of the June war was to destroy that, but the Iranians are saying they have other secret facilities that nobody knows about. So the nuclear issue of Iran is really not resolved. And in Lebanon, Hezbollah is rebuilding. Talk about Hezbollah disarming completely. They're never going to do it willingly. And unless they're actually invaded and thrown out of the country, they're not going to do it. They're just going to work on rebuilding their capabilities with any means that they can. Yesterday, I was listening to the Secretary General of Hezbollah saying that, you know, we are well on our way to recovery. We are ready for another round for the Israelis if it's forced on us. So, as I said a couple of months ago on my blog on Modadrio Politics, nothing has really been resolved when it comes to Iran. They took a big hit. They were humiliated. It was demonstrated that their airspace is quite vulnerable. But nothing really changed. The regime is still there. In a way, it got stronger because it was attacked from outside. And there doesn't seem to be a resolution. Rather, instead, what we're seeing is that sanctions on Iran have been reimposed by the United Nations. If you remember the details of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the 2015 JCPOA nuclear deal between Iran and the West, or between Iran and the Security Council plus Germany, what was done was that there was a mechanism established whereby just one of the countries involved could cancel the whole deal. And that was referred to as the snapback mechanism. The Europeans activated that snapback mechanism in August, and now Iran is again under full UN sanctions. But they're going to keep on selling oil to China. They're not going to stop anything that they're doing. And I can't imagine that in this environment, the Russians and the Chinese will stop backing Iran. Rather, I think every indicator shows that they're going to double down, which is why we are seeing these Antonov heavy lift aircraft going from Russia into Iran. Supposedly, they're carrying either air defense systems or Yak-130 training aircraft, or maybe, you know, there are reports that MiG-29s are now in Iran with a view towards supplying them with Sukhoi 30s. The Yaks are an interesting one because these are a trainer aircraft, so they're not going to do very much against Israeli jets. What they could be used as, however, is platforms from which to launch missiles to interdict Israeli ordnance. I'm just speculating here. I'm not an expert in this field. If you guys want to correct me or tell me what they can and can't do, I'd be quite interested. But their training aircraft, they are used sometimes to fire ordnance. I wonder if they can be used in some kind of support for air defense capacity, or I wonder if they can be used as platforms on which to place radars. And these radars would then enable the Iranians to have better visibility over their airspace and integrate with on-the-ground air defense systems. If somebody knows the details of this, I'd be extremely interested. But anyway, it seems that the Russians and the Chinese are busy rearming Iran and trying to boost its air defense systems. And if you're Israel or the United States and you see that the Iranian nuclear program is not destroyed, that Iran is still very strong in Iraq, and that its strength in Lebanon is nowhere near what it used to be, but is recovering, then, as the American special envoy to Turkey and to Syria said, Tom Barak, you have to go after the head of the snake, which means going after Iran. And so one wonders if this is on the cards and if these indicators, the moving of refueling tankers, the boosting of air defense systems, and the pizza indicator and the gay bar indicator, I wonder if these are actually meaningful. Somebody saying that MiG-29s were intimidating in 1975. Yes, yes. Obviously, a MiG-29 doesn't stand a chance against an F-35. My question on the technical side is whether or not they can be used as platforms from which to launch air-to-air missiles to interdict some of the Israeli ordnance, because the Israelis quite often fire from a distance. And so the ordnance is more interceptable than the F-35. That's my technical question. So I don't know the answer to that. I'm very keen to see your answer to that. Bob Amelius, I think that's the name that I'm looking at. So we're seeing this movement here towards escalation. And then you have to ask yourself, well, can there be a negotiated settlement? And the answer is pretty much no. The initial strike on Iran in June was being planned during the last round of negotiations. It preempted planned Iranian-American negotiations over the nuclear issue in Oman by 2 days. So the Iranians were supposed to go into talks with the United States on June 16, I think. And then a couple of days before that, the Israelis struck. And from the Iranian perspective, that meant that talks were being used as cover to prepare for military action. And then we saw the same thing happening in Doha, in Qatar. The Hamas team assembled to negotiate a peace proposal from the Americans, and the Israelis tried to wipe out the Hamas team. That kind of makes it very difficult to negotiate, no? I mean, how are you going to go into talks when you expect to be attacked at any moment? And when the Israeli objective is to sort of resolve this militarily, I don't know, and I don't see how this gets resolved, really. Either the Israelis accept that the Iranian regime survives and rearms Hezbollah and is still strong in Iraq and can still strike them one day and still has the ability to build a nuclear weapon at will, I would argue, or they let the issue go. They're not letting a lot of things go right now, and understandably so. They view Iran as an existential threat, and they want to simply destroy that threat once and for all.
If you enjoyed this piece of premium content from the Lotus Eaters, head to our website where you can find more.